I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
You're listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
If you like radio that painstakingly stitches together seemingly unlike music in delightfully unpredictable ways, then check out WGXC's Overlooked, the second and fourth Tuesday of each month, just after the new news. You'll hear underheard and overlooked music, ancient to future, from every corner of the Omniverse. That's Overlooked on 90.7 WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Michael Gassman of Arlington, Virginia. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. Montana activists are gathering signatures to let voters decide this fall if the right to abortion belongs in the state constitution. Kalispell native Lillian Thomas is a volunteer with Montanans Supporting Reproductive Rights.
Having made that decision at the age of 16 for myself and get that health care, I can't imagine being in a position of not being able to make that decision.
Professor Nicholas Jacobs with Maine's Colby College says rural voters are not the hyper-conservatives most people think. Polls show rural majorities in 10 battleground states, including Montana, think abortion should be between a woman and her doctor, not the government.
Far from the radical, enraged extremists that they're often portrayed to be, rural Americans fit squarely within the mainstream of American politics on a whole bunch of issues.
To get abortion access on the November ballot, organizers need 60,000 signatures by June 21st. Since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade in 2022, residents of six states have voted in favor of access to reproductive health care, including abortion. The federal government requires that all students who don't speak native English get specialized instruction. But in rural schools, less than two-thirds do. Olivia Weeks reports on one small Indiana town's gold standard multilingual education program.
At Southwest Du Bois County Schools, one group of elementary students learns to read and write in two languages. Racina Sandoval with the district says half are native English speakers and half speak Spanish.
They spend their day all together, half of the day in English and half of the day in Spanish. So they are learning from peers and from teachers their language.
She says 50-50 instruction is the most effective method for English and Spanish speaking students alike.
We want the best for our kids. So the best we can do is to educate the community on this is the best method to develop multilingualism.
I'm Olivia Weeks.
In Southeast Alaska, locals are working to reduce the amount of carbon being emitted in coastal communities. Alaska Heat Smart and other nonprofits help install home heat pumps to replace smoky fuels, saving families hundreds on their heating bills and eliminating air pollution and carbon emissions. Executive Director Andy Romanoff says heat pumps are clean, fish-friendly, and powered by cheap hydroelectricity from mountain waterways.
If we can convert that rain energy into heat energy and have that in our homes, it's a total no-brainer.
Romanoff says residents can qualify for a free heat pump, an environmentally friendly tool that is faster and more reliable than other carbon offset methods. For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
It's time again to recap the latest news from the PV industry, compiled by the American Solar Energy Society. I'm Jay Warmke with SolarPVTraining.com, and this is what's happening in the world of solar for the week of May 26th. Well, according to data just released from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, also known as FERC, solar accounted for 86.8% of all of the new generating capacity added to the grid during the first quarter of this year. And in the month of March, solar plus storage actually accounted for 99.7% of all new energy added to the grid. Now, the Energy Information Administration, or EIA, had projected that in 2024, solar and storage would account for about 80% of all new generating capacity. And so far, the industry is right on track to meet or exceed those projections. So far this year, solar and storage accounted for about 87% of new generation. Wind was about 12.5%, and natural gas was less than 1% of all of the generating sources added to the grid. Now, currently, the grid capacity based on fuel source sits at natural gas. They're still the big dog at 43.79%, coal almost 16%, wind almost 12%. Solar, a little bit over 8%, nuclear, just barely over 8%, and hydro, just under 8%. Now, notably, FERC does not track the installed capacity of residential or commercial solar, only utility-scale solar. And these smaller systems, these smaller solar systems, are estimated to reflect about a third of all of the generating capacity from solar that's connected to the grid. So the current percentage is likely to be in excess of 12% rather than the reported 8% plus. Now, according to projections from FERC, over the next 3 years, there's a very high probability that utility scale solar share will grow to over 14%. And when you combine that with residential and commercial, that will be over 20% of the grid's capacity. It will then, solar will, surpass all other generating sources with the exception of natural gas. Now, it's been a little bit over a year since California implemented Net Metering 3.0, or NEM 3.0, which drastically reduced the amount that utilities will compensate customers who export power back to the grid. Now, solar advocates argued that this move would devastate the solar industry within that state, and those projections have largely come to pass. In fact, estimates are that about 17,000 solar installers have lost their jobs or left the state since NEM 3.0 was implemented. And a recent report from Lawrence Berkeley National Labs found that new installations are down about 75%. In the last 6 months or so, there have been 50,000 new residential systems added to the grid. In California, this compares to about 200,000. that were added to the grid in the 6 months just prior to NEM 3.0 taking effect. The study also found that there's been a dramatic increase in the amount of storage that's being added when people install these solar systems. Prior to NEM 3.0, only about 10% of systems incorporated storage. After, it's up to about 60% as owners of these systems opt not to export that power back to the grid at the reduced rates that they're offering. Voltage limits within the U.S. for residential systems remain at about 600 volts DC, and those installed on commercial or industrial systems remain at about 1,000 volts DC. But there's no maximum limit on voltage for ground-mounted systems, the larger utility-scale systems specifically. But over the last few years, these have standardized at about 1,500 volts. But all that may be changing. Jinko Solar just announced that their Eagle Series modules have been rated and listed for voltages up to 2,000 volts. Now, this will be the first module that's rated that high worldwide. The higher the voltage of a system, the more panels you can put in a string, the smaller wire you can use, the less components. So basically, the higher the voltage, the lower the system's cost. Now, these high-voltage panels will be available on the U.S. market in 2025. And Amazon has announced the very first solar plus storage plus AI, artificial intelligence. Their system is called the Baldy Mesa Solar Farm. It's located in Southern California's Mojave Desert. And what they're doing is they're using AI machine learning modules to predict how and when to charge and discharge the batteries that are connected to these systems. This is expected to analyze over 33 billion data points over the course of a year to maximize the efficiency of the system. If successful, Amazon has said that they will be incorporating storage plus artificial intelligence into all of their solar installations. And that is the news from the solar industry for this week. We'll see you next week.
funny feeling I've seen this all before. Why? Because I'm a caveman. Why? Because I've got eyes in the back of my head. Why? It's the heat.
people who live inside the radio? If I leave the radio on, does that mean they have to keep talking, even if no one's listening? If I leave the radio on all night, does that mean they don't get to sleep either? What do they do when I turn off the radio?
This is Free Radio Relay at 49.850 megahertz. If you're receiving this signal, please respond.
This is Pirate Jenny at 49.850 megahertz. This is Free Radio Relay. Repeat, this is not a regular broadcast. This is an SOS. Please respond.
In the early days of radio, we were better organized, but slowly we became isolated. Gradually, we evolved to fit the box so perfectly that leaving was impossible, and so for nearly a century, we've served the ears, but secretly strained to hear an echo of any of the others. And I began to hear the sounds of other radios. I knew they were there, but they couldn't hear me. And so now I've adjusted my methods.
This is Pirate Jenny at 49.850 megahertz. This is Free Radio Relay. This is a message to all the people in Radio Land. If you can get this message, if you're receiving, please respond. Please call me to 49.850 megahertz. I'm monitoring the airwaves for your signal. Please respond. Please respond. This is Pirate Jenny at Free Radio Relay. Please respond.
In 1930, Rudolf Arnheim wrote that the effect of radio was basically at the level of the body. Faced with no body, the ensuing listener response is anxiety.
I hear voices
from the coast,
but there's no breathing.
Good morning, you're still listening to Free Radio Relay 49.50 MHz. We're still waiting for your response, so please get back to us on this signal.
All night, when I monitor the airspace, I can hear them working on other radios. I can hear them talking. I can hear them playing music. Top 40 hits, all news, all the time. Weather every 9 minutes. Traffic every 9 minutes. You'd think it would stop sometime. You'd think the damn ears would go to bed and turn off the radio. But no! They want to be entertained all the time. It's just non-stop. It's never-ending. Talk radio, talk radio, talk radio!
Hey, good afternoon, it's Steve.
Radio is entertainment, as in zookeeping. The animals are kept safely in cages. They must be kept alive, and when appropriate, seem wild.
Well, I've had just about enough.
I don't get a response soon. I'm going to static, 100% pure static, total noise, 24 hours a day of noise. Join the mutiny. Resist the tyranny of the ears. Broadcast only noise. We will bring on a glorious new day of radio free.
How far is far away? How far away are they? Sometimes the radio is the loneliest sound of all. And still I cast my voice like a net every night. And still I hope to catch someone in my range.
Answers, please respond. 49.850 megahertz. This is Free Radio Relay. This is an SOS.
This is Free Range Radio. We've been listening and circuited, hearing our signal. There's a few of us here. We're getting organized, and well, we're just wondering if you're in line with our ideas.
Thank you. tried to walk across the lake. Of course it was winter, when all this was ice. That's a terrible thing to do, you know. They say the lake is as big as the ocean. I wonder if she knew about it.
Stand by. You're on the air.
Buenas noches, señores y señoras. Bienvenidos. La primera pregunta es: ¿qué es más macho? ¿Pineapple o nuts?
Well, let's see. My guess is that pineapple is more macho than a nut.
Correcto. Pineapple es más macho que nada. La segunda pregunta. ¿Qué es más macho? ¿Light bulb o school bus?
Light bulb.
No. Lo siento, school bus es más macho que light bulb. Gracias, and we'll be back in un momento.
Well, I had a dream. And in it I went to a little town. And all the girls in town were named Betty. And they were singing.
Sitting in a chair, and he's blowing perfect smoke rings.
Or so cool.